Let us pray. God, that's why we come, is to just lift up your name and give our expressions of adoration to you, to worship you, to show our love to you. That's why we gathered here today. Yeah, we get to hear cool music and sing along and see some friends and hear a word, but really we come to collectively worship and show our adoration of you. And that song in particular shows us, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we lift you up today, and we thank you for your presence in our hearts and in this room. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. All right, we haven't rehearsed this part yet, so we're going to ask a few questions and just kind of have a little chit-chat here. Jesse, are we okay to do this? Okay. All right. We need a stage crew or something. Here we go. I had a gallbladder removed on Wednesday, and I'm grateful not to have to preach, so thank you. Thank you for being here. Kind of timing on that worked out pretty well, but I hear like minor gasps because I'm not supposed to lift like 10 pounds or something, so I'll scoot it. I'm not bleeding out, so we're good. We're good. All right. Well, we just want to have like a time of questions so we can know your story a little bit and get to know you a little better and support you in your musical journey. So just tell us a little bit about yourself. Just give us your names and maybe, you know, what your family situation is and where you're from, that sort of thing.
Well, I am Erica Catt, but I originally am a Blake. I'm sure at least some of you know a Blake or two. We're kind of everywhere around here, but I grew up in really St. Louisville, Ohio, went to Newton Elementary and graduated from Utica High School, class of 09. And then ever since I was 10, I said, whenever I graduate, I am going to move to Nashville. I'm going to get my teaching degree and try to be a musician. And sure enough, that never changed. I'm a very determined person once I get my mindset to something. So I moved to West Tennessee, which isn't quite Nashville, but it was 2 hours away, way closer than here. And I got my degree in education. And as soon as I graduated, I knew it was time. And I don't know, I guess I've always felt like it was God's plan for me, and I've always followed him step by step. And when it was time to move, it's scary. So when I went to college, I didn't know a single person. I knew nobody. I knew my theater director, kind of, because we'd been emailing, because I went on a musical theater scholarship to a Christian school. We went to Bethel University in West Tennessee. But when it was time to move, it was really emotional, yes, but I knew that was what was time. And when I graduated from college, I had a summer contract in Charlotte, and then I knew when that was over, that's next is moving to Nashville. Like, that's what was next. And I didn't hesitate. It was scary, really scary, but I didn't hesitate, and I just went, and that's what I did. And it's pretty much my story, kind of. I don't know. I danced at Patty's Dance Center, was in all the musicals at Utica, and a cheerleader, sang the national anthem. I sang around town a lot, so you might have saw me, but that's kind of my background and my story.
Well, I don't have a story like that at all, because I'm not really a talker, but I am actually originally from Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is actually technically just north of Bowling Green, but I had no plans in life at all, pretty much still don't. I graduated high school, and I'm like, well, I guess I could, like, get a factory job or something. That would be cool. But I loved music. I was obsessed with music. It's the only thing I knew how to do. And I wound up getting an offer for a scholarship to full ride, actually, to Bethel University to play guitar. And so, of course, I took it, you know, and I went there and went to college, did the whole college spiel for about, you know, 8 years or so. Because, you know,
He's not kidding.
I'm not. I tried to make it a career, and it, you know.
But if he wouldn't have gone that long, we wouldn't have met.
That's true. Never would have met her. But, yeah, I met her and wound up getting married and all that good stuff. But,
when did you guys get married?
It was about 4 years ago, right?
Almost. Yeah. 3 and a half.
Do you know the date?
Yeah, we do. See, I don't get mad. I'm the same thing. I'm like, how long has it been? Don't even remember our ages sometimes. So, well, we're not worried about. But November 8th, 2014.
You're not old enough for that yet.
I know.
You're not. Trust me.
It's been happening since I was 20, probably. He asks me all the time, how old am I?
Yeah.
You're 33, babe.
I forget how old I am.
So you guys met in school, mm-hmm. right? And Bethel University is a Christian school. Mm-hmm. I assume then you have some sort of faith background coming into school. Like, tell us about your faith journey and, like, when Jesus became real to you, or, you know, like, tell us a little bit about your faith.
Sure. You want to go first, or?
To be honest, I kind of grew up in church-ish, but on and off, so we never had a home church, ever. I wish this was here when I was growing up, but my dad worked a lot of Sundays, so we just would go whenever we could to church and never really felt like home, but I always, you know, growing up, I always read my Bible. I always did what was good, you know, or, you know, what I thought was good and what the commandments said. I followed the rules, right? I was a rule follower. Never drank any alcohol, never smoked any cigarettes, and I'm super stubborn, so everybody who tried to get me to, I just was like, yeah, okay, nice try. Not gonna happen. And I've always been really determined to follow God's commands. But I had good examples, and maybe it was just God's timing. I don't know, but both sets of grandparents are devout Christians. My dad and my mom, they believe, but I don't know. I guess it wasn't modeled for me how to have a relationship. I knew how to believe in God, and I knew what was right and what was wrong, or what the commandments said. And when I went to Bethel, my theater director at Bethel is one of the most amazing devout Christian men, you can agree to that probably, that I've ever met in my life. And because of that, when he put people into that theater program, talent was important, yes, but that wasn't the only thing. You know, we had people that couldn't act worth a crap, but they just were on tech team because he wanted them a part of what God was doing. So the whole theater department, and we were known for it around campus, they were just all devout Christians, and it was the first time that I'd ever seen that, especially in that large of a quantity. And still to this day, there will never be anything like it was there, just this community that you could always go to. But I began to wonder, like, you know, I knew I was saved. I gave my heart to Jesus, but I didn't really have that relationship with him. And I didn't, because I didn't know how. And I had examples. And then my sophomore year of college, or my freshman year of college, I met a girl that was very devout Christian. She was on fire for God, and it was really exciting to see. And she began kind of like taking me under her wing, and we did Bible studies together, and she kind of showed me how to have a relationship with Christ. And wasn't much longer that after, it was actually the opening weekend of our musical, I was the witch in Into the Woods. But it was the opening weekend of our first, my first musical as a freshman, which was really scary. And that Sunday, I just felt like I had never been baptized because I, for some reason, just didn't feel like it was the right moment. And that was probably true because I didn't quite have that understanding of what a relationship was yet. And that Sunday at church, the Sunday before the opening weekend, so we were going into our dress rehearsals, I just felt like God was calling me to totally surrender, like 100%. Like, none of this one foot in, one foot out, not really knowing what I was doing thing. Like, 100%, I'm yours. You control my actions, every step. I decided that day that I was going all in. And my theater director, he went to the church with me, and he gave me a hug, and then cried, of course, because, you know, I was one of his kids at that point. We'd been together more than a semester, and we all spent so much time together with rehearsals. And after opening night, he said, "I'm really proud of you. You did awesome in the play. But what I'm more proud of is your decision to go all in with God." And that was when my life changed for the better. And
amen.
So incredible.
It's cool to see how it takes other people to guide you along and show you the ropes of faith and know that there's somebody that's gone before you and can walk alongside with you. And even though, like, as children, we might have had an experience of faith growing up, but at some point, it needs to be our own. And God worked that out for you. That's great. How
Absolutely.
About you?
Well, y'all better buckle in, because I got a story and a half. No, I'm just kidding. So I grew up, my dad was Church of Christ. My mom was Baptist. So you could imagine.
Oil and water.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, very much so. So I never went to church. I never. I believed in God, believed in Jesus and all that good stuff. But it wasn't, in the top list of my priorities. And honestly, by 14, I was smoking pot. By 16, I was doing cocaine. By 18, I was into meth. And just about anything that came in the form of a pill. That was my life. That's what I lived for. You know, I tried to get through high school, barely did, but, you know, I didn't care. I wasn't following God. It was just like, oh, yeah, you know, God exists. I'll get to that when I get to it, you know. And I spent every single day trying to get high in any way I could. Wound up, even though I wasn't following Christ, he was still guiding me, which was just absolutely insane. Because, I get all when I think about it. So he still somehow developed the opportunity for me to go to school. And it didn't make sense at all. There wasn't any reason, you know, how I should have got a full ride scholarship at a random Christian university, you know, this druggie that just, you know, that didn't care. And I was really good at hiding it, too. Like, I didn't look like I was on all that stuff, you know, but I managed to pull it off and went to college there. And I got in with a group of, it was a prayer team is what it was. And I had joined a university or fraternity, and they wound up praying over me. And it was then, because I was always, you know, it was a mental thing for me, like, okay, how can I think this out to get saved? You know, I was always trying to find the logical path to God, and that does not exist. That it just doesn't. The bottom line is you have to make the decision. You have to decide, and you have to fully give yourself to God. And I was actually pledging my fraternity, and it was that night that I actually gave myself to Christ. And at this point, I think I was really into painkillers at the time. And I was almost, I was almost dead. I was skinny as a rail, pale. I had just met her, and she kind of was setting an example for me. And I just realized that all these people around me had something. They had something, and I didn't have what that was. And I wanted that. And whatever that was, it was better than any drug I could ever take. And as soon as I gave my life to Christ, I felt fulfilled. I was like, man, I'm full. I'm full. I'm not empty anymore, you know. And it was after that I decided okay, I can play, I see now why I got the scholarship to play music. God gave me this talent. He gave me this ability. He gave me the ability to write songs and play guitar and sing harmony. I should use that for him. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, she and I, you know, we dated for 4 years, 3 years, something like a long time. We dated. And we did it the old-fashioned way. We waited till marriage. You know, we didn't even live together beforehand. And, you know, we decided, hey, we're gonna do this right. Because a lot of marriages are failing today. And I really believe that's because they don't put God first anymore.
Yeah, you can't love your spouse the most. You know, that's just, mm-hmm. God didn't create us for that.
Yeah, if I was to look to her for happiness, I'm setting her up to fail. It's just
putting
not
me in a position that I wasn't created to fail.
Yeah, she wasn't created to make me happy. You know, God was. So, you know, that's how, where we get our, you know, where we get fulfilled. And so, yeah, I sobered up. Actually got good and chubby there for a while. And then she decided that it was a good idea that I start working out. And I still hate every second of it. But I do it anyway. Eat healthy and, you know, just try to live our lives for God. And, that, you know, that's what we're trying to do with our music. And sorry, am I talking too much? Anyway, he's got more questions.
No, this is the meat of it right here.
Yeah,
you jump right where we wanted to go, because what your story proves is the scripture that says while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Exactly.
God was pulling you along even while you were in the midst of that terrible sin. He was still guiding you, and His grace was still active within you. So
exactly.
We praise God for that, and to hear your vulnerability and just telling us, you know, like that's amazing. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
And it's part of who you are. I mean, to get you to this point here today.
So, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now God can use me.
Yeah.
I've been through there. I've been there.
I can tell you.
Say I've been there.
Right now, He's used you right now. So praise God for that. I do have some other questions for you, just some musical ones. You kind of told us about your background, growing up playing and singing, and you did all the productions in high school and whatever. But as you got together, musically speaking, how did you come up with the name Cherry Avenue?
Well, Cherry Avenue. So when we first moved to Nashville, we met this guy that really wanted to help us. He believed in us. And we were engaged at the time, so we were planning to get married. And he wanted us to kind of make this into this, like, Thompson Square, really lovey-dovey couple. And I don't know if you've ever seen Thompson Square live, but they're, like, touching each other's faces. And that's all great. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're just not those type of people.
No. Not at
if
all.
I touch his face, this is what it would be like.
It's just awkward.
It's sweaty.
It is. Yeah. It is awkward.
Let's not do that.
And then I'm gonna laugh, right? So this guy, he meant well. He was trying to. He thought that would be marketable. And I'm like, that's fine that that's marketable, but it's not us. We're not PDA. We're goofy. We're a goofy couple. We're like, hey, what's up? We're not like, let me touch your face in front of 500 people. At the time, he wanted to name us A&E, which is totally a duo name, and we love being a duo. It's super fun, but we also really love harmony, and we didn't want to close ourselves off to always being a duo. So right now, we're a duo, but if somebody comes along that's the right match for us, we want to be able to grow into a trio or whatever God wants to do with it, as long as they fit into the puzzle. So we were like, well, we need a name that means something if people want to know, but that is doesn't limit us to being a duo, like the Cats. You know, we wanted something that worked for whatever opportunity we would come into, and so we were thinking, well, what can we do? And we had a bunch of nonsense picked out, and I don't know how we even came up with it, but we thought, do you remember? You came up with the idea.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I wound up thinking, you know what? Bethel University is on Cherry Avenue. And and the more we thought about it, we were like, well, we fell in love on Cherry Avenue.
We both got saved
on Cherry Avenue.
It's marketable. It sounds cool.
It just made sense, you know.
You can add to it.
We can put more people in it.
Nobody has it.
Their domain was still available. Well, actually, the domain cherryavenue.com is like $8,000. We're like, no.
Yeah.
So we have like cherryavenue.red and cherryavenuemusic.com, and that's just sitting pretty over there at $8,000.
We'll get there eventually.
We're not going to do that.
Well, we took a love offering, so we'll see.
Right?
Yeah,
right? 8,000.
That's the number.
So we'll pass it again if we need to. That's a great story, and I think it has a lot of meaning behind that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Tell us about some places you've played that are unique or might be really interesting, or you're really excited to play there. You got one or two places in mind that were just like over the moon for just playing there?
Honestly?
Yeah.
This building.
Oh, yeah?
I know this sounds weird, but this is one of the coolest venues, and we've been to a lot of venues, but the stage and the acoustics and just the overall vibe of this place is really cool.
Yeah, we had our single release party here for our single I Want None of It.
We did one in Dallas, the Bomb Shelter.
Oh, yeah.
That
bomb
was a
factory.
Really Bomb Factory, yeah. Shelter, that's it.
Those are two different things.
Totally different things, yeah. But yeah, that was like it was an old factory they had turned into.
Totally, just no seating, just wide open. And then there was like a little tiny bar way at the back, like way far away. And we were with an artist at the time. What we would do is we would open for the artist and then we would get on stage and sing harmony with him. Well, as that, we actually got the chance to open up for Joe Diffie and Sammy Kershaw. Obviously is really cool. And Joe Diffie, by the way, in the middle of his last song, coming back to get a drink before he did his encore, you know, they always do an encore, we got a selfie with him, and he was totally cool about it. It was, and it was terrible.
And he was supposed to go back on stage.
I'm sorry,
I never do this, but can I get a picture?
I've literally never done this, but can we get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, we got a picture, and the picture turned out terrible, but you're not going to ask Joe Diffie to, can we try again?
My face is good and greasy, and yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, we were like sweaty. And
he's a sweetheart, though.
Well, I'm glad that you decided to come back here again.
Yeah.
That's actually how we got in touch with Cherry Avenue the first time they were here, Memorial Weekend. And we were planning a Sounds of Summer installment that weekend, but you all were headed back to, you're playing Buckeye Lake Saturday, and you're heading back home to Tennessee that day, so you couldn't come on Sunday for us, and we arranged for today instead. So, because you are going to be in town, since you're from Utica, right? Like, so it's all there. How about being a Christian artist in Nashville, but trying to do, branded as a country music and not having the Christian label necessarily. Tell us how that works. Is there any pushback that you get? Or you told us a little bit about one producer's trying to make you be one way, but how does that work? And do you find any difficulty with that?
Well, the difficulties are kind of weird. One of the main things that sticks out to me is whenever we go into a co-write with another artist, we have to preface the co-write with, hey, by the way, we don't write about drinking or drugs or partying or having a bunch of sex. We don't write about those things, even if it's not for us, because if we write a song for Luke Bryan that talks about all that stuff, we're still contributing to the fact that that's out in the world, because it wouldn't be written without us. So a lot of times we preface a songwriting session with, we don't, just an FYI, we don't write about anything like this. And a lot of people we write with already know that, but some of them don't. And I remember we were in one co-write, and the girl is the sweetest, sweetest girl. She really is. And she already knew that we were kind of Christian country is kind of what we brand ourselves as. And we'd already written one song with her, and we were like, we want to write a driving upbeat song because that's what we're missing from our album. We need like an opener, something we can open a show with, or we need a closer or something, upbeat and driving. And she said, well, I don't really know how to do that without not talking about drinking. And man, I just got sad. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's just words. Mm-hmm. It's words that doesn't change the beat. That doesn't change the melody. And it was really sad. And I was like, man, that's, and she, like I said, she's a sweetheart, big heart, but it just made me so sad for, like, she's younger. I know I'm young, but she's younger than me. It just made me so sad for that generation because she's writing, and she, honest to goodness, didn't know how am I going to write an upbeat song that's not about drinking. And we ended up, I said, well, you know, we were talking earlier about how, I don't know if you've ever heard Stephen Furtick, but he's doing a series called Savage Jesus. And I was telling her, I was like, well, Jesus wasn't always like lace and bows. He actually never really was. He was very calm and his soul was at peace, but he was a savage. Like if you were doing something, he called you out. He called people vipers, broods, you know, like he puts you in your place in a perfect way. But I told her, I was like, well, it really drives me nuts when people assume one thing about me and it's not, or think that because I'm this goody-two-shoes Christian girl that you can just walk all over me. So I said, so let's write a song about that. So we wrote a song called Bring in the Fire. And it says, I'm bringing the fire, don't stand too close, or all your wrong ways of living might go up in smoke. This time, I'm gonna let you know what you see ain't what you get. What's the next part? Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. You'll find out real quick I'm not just wide-eyed and pretty. So it basically says, like, you know, I got a fire around me. I got Jesus inside my soul. So if you want to know a little bit more and you're going to get close, you better watch out because you might just change. Mm-hmm. And that's right. Not me. That's God. Because mm-hmm. God changed me so that I can go out and tell other people. And she's like, wow, this is a really good song. I'm like, it's possible. Mm-hmm. That's been a huge challenge. It's mm-hmm. been a huge challenge. Another, you want to talk about having to play in bars and getting requests that we don't agree with? You can talk about that.
Oh. Sometimes we play in bars and we get requests that we don't agree with. No, it really is tough, you know, because you want to set an example, you know, but, you know, you have to relate as well. And that's kind of the tough line that you have to ride when you're trying to, you know, we're trying to build our group, and the point is to get to a commercial level. That's the goal, so that we can be an example, mm-hmm. so that our material can be positive, and people don't even realize it at first, until kind of like, you know, we hook them, we catch them, you know, and then before you know it, they're fans, but they're listening to positive music. And that's kind of our goal. Like a great country song like Boot Scootin' Boogie and, you know, stuff like that. It's still talking about party and it's still talking about all that, you know. But why can't we do a song that's that driving with a positive message in it, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't mean bobble-thumping music like Southern Gospel or something. Something that people can really relate to, you know. And that's kind of our goal. But, yeah, it gets tough when people are requesting stuff in bars. And, you know, we usually handle it like, well, hey, you know, how about we know this by that artist, you know, how about that?
Try to redirect. You know? Like, try to redirect. What about this song? And sometimes it doesn't work out and, you know, we just do whatever. But all of our original material is always that. Another mm-hmm. hardship we faced being that is when we were traveling with an artist, this is the main reason we don't travel with him anymore, but we were on a tour bus, and they were always really cool about, they always respected me, especially. Like, of course, Adam doesn't smoke anything anymore, but it didn't affect him necessarily if he was in the bus with them. But they always respected me, and so we didn't have a problem with it. But there was one trip, the trip where we were going to Dallas, which the show for Joe Diffie was fun, but the ride there and back was not. They were smoking weed, and there were like four or five of them, and they were constantly, and it was like, they couldn't just all do it at the same time. They had to take turns, so it just lasted forever, and I told the manager, I was like, hey, listen, I know that everybody thinks I'm just some goody two-shoes, and that I'm saying that weed affects me because I'm a goody two-shoes and I'm being judgmental, but I said, but I'm actually, like, literally, I think I'm allergic to it because my throat closes and my eyes get all puffy and I've never smoked it, but I would assume that if somebody's smoking it and that happens to me, that that's probably an allergy. And they were, he said, I'm really sorry, but, you know, I can't go above the artist, and the artist was the one doing it. And there was one point where I was in my bunk. I had the curtain closed, and I was trying all that I could. But the tour bus is great, but they're not that big when you are in that situation. I was literally, like, sticking my face up to the little tiny crack in the window, and Adam came back, and my lips were, like, purple. My face was, like, pale white.
Yeah, that's not a joke.
And he told the manager, he was like, we have to pull over now. Like, she can't breathe. And I was, like, gasping for air, taking way more hits of my inhaler because I have asthma than I should have. And he had them pull over so I could get some fresh air. But the reason we quit was because on the way back they did it again. And I was like, I'm done.
Right.
If you're not going to respect the fact that I'm literally back here dying, I know you think I'm just making crap up because they were too high to even realize that what was happening with me. They just thought we were making up stuff to get them to stop. And that was really hard. So we decided that we would never, ever travel with an artist that smokes again. And we asked our bands, do you smoke cigarettes? Do you smoke weed? If you do, whatever, it's your own prerogative. We prefer that you not. But you will never do it around us. Because I am affected by cigarette smoke, too. And that might just be because I didn't grow up with it. But my throat, after 2 hours of being, if I'm in a restaurant that there's smoking, it's after 2 hours, my throat closes. So, you know, mm-hmm. I never had to decide whether I wanted to smoke or not. It was kind of predestined for me.
So needless to say, there are things that we come up against, yeah. You know, and it's stuff like that. And man, what was I going to say? I had something that I wanted to say. Oh, yeah, a lot of the time people are like, oh, so you're a Christian country group, but you're playing in bars? You can't do that. Really? You mean to tell me that Jesus wouldn't go in there,
mm-hmm.
in the bar?
Right. Yeah, how are we going to reach them, you know?
You got to reach them. So, yeah, yes, we do play in bars, and mm-hmm. we're a Christian group because we're trying to be an example, you mm-hmm. know? So, anyway.
And we do our original songs in the bars, too, and we'll do some of those for you today. And we just hope, and then there's sometimes I'll see somebody really digging in and, like, deep, and we pray before every show, let somebody walk away touch, you know? Mm-hmm. And we never know if they do, but hopefully at least we plant seeds. You know, we can't always watch them flourish, but planting seeds is really the most important part. You can't have a plant without a seed. So, yeah.
And you can't plant a seed unless you get in contact with the dirt.
That's right.
So you got to go where the people are. Yeah. And it's hard to have a boundary or a principle, but still, you know, sort of be in the culture but not of the culture, but have your yeah. principles. And sometimes we sacrifice for those, and it sounds like you have had to sacrifice some things, maybe career-wise, that you wouldn't have otherwise if you didn't have those principles. But so we applaud you in carrying on that faith in a real way in your career and in your music and stuff. I have 30 more questions, which we're not going to ask, because we want to hear you sing.
Yeah, and we're long-winded.
Yeah, I could sit and talk with you guys for hours, but we brought you in here to sing, so... tell us the story behind the next song that you're going to sing, if you don't mind, or one after that, so we can know that story. And while you're telling that story, I'm going to leave the stage and let you guys sing us out. Golly, it's already 11:29, but do we have time for about 3 more songs, you think? Can we let them play? If you need to go, you can go. But we're going to sit here and worship and be blessed by you coming today. So thank you. Tell us that story, and then we want to hear you play.
The first song we'll play for you, I'll kind of preface every song just a tiny bit. I'll try not to talk too much. But the first song we're playing was when we first officially decided, like, we're Christians, obviously, so we've always tried to be Christian country. But when we finally decided, like, hey, let's be legit Christian country, though. Like, let's talk about God as much as possible. Not that you can't talk about God in every song, but, you know, we wanted to make sure that any time reference God in a song, that we were going to take that opportunity. And we had written a verse and a chorus of a song already. And we were actually on our way to record our first single. And we wrote the second verse in the car. And I was like, I really feel like this could be powerful. And I really think we could turn this song to really, really say something about God. And basically, the song turned into a wife and a child that the husband had left. But she's not angry, because she knows he doesn't have a relationship with God. And I think that's so important. Like, when people wrong me, I feel like one of my spiritual gifts from God is I don't get angry unless they're saved. Then I am like, you know better. You know better. But people that aren't saved, I'm just like, when they wrong me, I almost feel bad. I'm like, they really don't know any better. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know Jesus. They don't have someone, a Savior, to fill that void in their heart. And they're angry about it. And, you know, so I show a lot of forgiveness there, and I try to be loving because they don't know. So this song is about a wife who, you know, she got saved, and the husband leaves, so she's not angry. She just keeps praying for him. She keeps praying for him, and she's encouraging him to come back to give his life to Christ. So I want to encourage you today, if there's somebody in your life that you've been praying for years and you feel like giving up, don't quit praying for them, because God hears your prayers, and they mean something. So don't ever give up on that prayer. But this song is called Come On Home.
Come on home.
to you. Sorry, we're like, which one do we pick? So this next song, I think it's our favorite song right now. Of course, it's recently written, and usually more recently written songs are our favorites. But this song is really special. When I was in high school, I lost a friend in a car accident, and it was really hard. It was my first major loss. But to think about the fact that she was in a better place. Like, I had to stop being selfish about my pain and realize that she was happy. John 3:16, I'm sure you know, it says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So this song kind of talks about that. It's called "Don't Worry About Me." Spinning on that old dirt road, couple of boxes and a suitcase of clothes. Her first taste of freedom, and she wants to do it right. So she drives on toward those city lights. Her daddy knew that she was bound to leave this town. He just didn't realize it was coming round right now. Mama calls her crying, "Don't forget to check in, even though you're grown. You're still my baby girl. Don't worry about me. I'll be living out the best days of my life, still shining, that's me. The road less travel's gonna bring me home tonight. Don't worry about me. Even when I fall down on my knees, don't worry about me." Spinning on that interstate, he lived without his wallet, so they're gonna be late. He rushes to the runway and he gives her one last kiss. He says, "I'm sorry, baby, I hate to leave." Don't worry about me. I'll be living out the best days of my life, still shining as me. The road less travel's gonna bring me home tonight. Don't worry about me. Even when I fall down on my knees, don't worry about me. Wheeling on that county road, one patch of black ice and there's no hope. She dials for her husband and gets the voicemail instead. He must must have just landed. So she says with her last breath, don't worry about me. I'll be living out the best days of my life, still shining, that's me. The road less travel's gonna bring me home tonight. Don't worry about me. All of our Jesus songs are really sad, make you cry songs. And we haven't finished Bring on the Fire yet, so we can't do that. So I'm sorry to make you guys probably all cry. which one? There's two more we could do.
You're the Boss.
They both are so sad. Let's do I Can't Sleep since 4th of July is coming up.
Okay.
So raise your hand if you've ever served in our military. Well, first we want, or if you're currently serving too, first we want to thank you for our service. We wouldn't be able to celebrate July 4th if it wasn't for you guys. So we commend you so much. This song, we're big, huge supporters of the military. My brother is a sergeant in the Air Force, and I have a lot of uncles that were in the military too. So we love a good old military song. This one isn't a big proud to be an American U.S. of A song, though. This is a song about those that don't make it home and how it affects their loved ones. And it's really hard when someone passes to give that to God. I think sometimes we feel like if we give it to God, then we're letting go of that person. And that's not true. When we let go and give it to God, that just means that we're letting go of the grief of losing that person in hopes and revelation that we'll see them someday. And if they weren't saved, just in revelation that we have to move on past that and grow on with our lives. Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. So there's going to come a day where all that's gone, and we don't have to deal with that pain anymore. But I encourage you, don't hold on to the pain. Give it to God, because He knows what to do with it, and we don't. So this song is called I Can't Sleep.
Someone calls and asks for you, and I can't stay on the line. People walk around looking, pretending they ain't looking, so I pretend I don't see. But I can't sleep, I'm just sitting here, picking up the pieces where you didn't mean to leave me. I can't sleep, there's a shadow still laying to the right where a lost boy found his way. And I just close my eyes and think of all the moments that remind me how you can't miss me. And I can't sleep. I saw your mama yesterday, so I put on my best smile until I drove your car. She says that she's all right as she pours yesterday's coffee in that glass of mine. We all walk around hurting, pretending we ain't hurting, 'cause the pain's too deep to fight. And I can't sleep, I'm just sitting here picking up the pieces where you didn't mean to leave me. I can't sleep, there's a shadow still laying to the right where a lost boy found his way. And I just close my eyes and think of all the moments that remind me how you can't miss me. And I can't sleep, and there's a box still sitting in the corner of your room with a folded up flag and a picture of you. I know God is on my side and I should be alright, but I just can't let go of this misery. So Lord, please take it from me, 'cause I can't sleep, I'm just sitting here picking up the pieces where you didn't mean to leave me. I can't sleep, there's a shadow still laying to the right where a lost boy found his way. And I just close my eyes and think of all the moments that remind me how you can't miss me, kiss me. You can't turn around and not leave this me. And I can't sleep, oh, I can't sleep.
Thank you guys for coming and being here today. Want to pray for you, but before we do, if there's folks here that want to take your music with them, is there a way to do that? What's the best way to get a hold of your recordings?
Well, we do have CDs in the car that I can make Adam go out and get.
It's only 2 blocks away, right?
That's only a 5-minute walk. No, I'm just kidding. We do have CDs, we're on iTunes, Apple Music. We have 3 songs from our EP, and then we have a new single that you can find online. And we have a YouTube channel, which we post a lot of covers on, but we also post original material. Another song we didn't do today that will make you cry, called Janie. It's a we write a lot of songs that make you cry.
We like the cries.
Yeah, I made a joke. I was like, we're like the next Rascal Flatts. You know how they have all those songs that punch you right in the gut? but we also have a lot of videos on our Facebook page, and our website, cherryavenue.red, can take you to all the links too. You can even buy a physical copy of our CD from our website. So there's, yeah, lots of opportunities. But if anybody does want a CD, you can let us know, and we can run out and grab them for you. Do you have any in your backpack?
I don't know. I can check my case. I might have something in my case. I'll go
oh,
get
I think
it.
You do have
anyway,
something in your
I'll
guitar case.
Anyway, we encourage you to meet with Adam and Erica, and thank you so much for coming here. We appreciate you being here. One more time, just give them your thanks for coming out today. If you don't mind, I'd love to pray for you and pray for a blessing and dismissal here. Gracious God, we thank you for this young couple. We thank you for Adam and Erica and what you've done in their lives up to this point. We thank you that you've given them this ability to sing and spread your word through music and through just telling their story. We ask that you protect them and keep them safe as they travel wherever they go throughout the country, and help your light to be shining brightly enough in them that people can see a way forward or see a way out, see a way home, as their song has delicately told us. God bless them and enrich them in their faith and in their family together. We praise you and thank you for them. And for us, as we leave here today, we ask that you be with us and guide us and keep us in your tender care. and bless us as we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Do what only you can. Jesus has